Morning, everyone. Thank you for having us. What an amazing time of worship that was, and yeah, just beautiful being in God's presence. My name is Dave. I'm married to Kina. We have two children, Liam and Karen, and we're from City Bowl Congregation with Luke and Zandi Halley, and I believe two of Zandi's sisters. Three of Zandi's sisters are in this congregation, so we feel even more at home here. So thank you so much for having us. We've really been made so welcome. It's been beautiful to be here with you. I think it was Leanne who welcomed us at the door, and I just felt something for you. I felt God saying, Psalm 40, verse 3, I'll put a new song in your mouth and a new song in your heart, and I see God's going to give you opportunities to share his light into dark areas, and it's going to be like music to the ears of those that are receiving. And I feel like he's giving you a gift of discernment and a gift of encouragement, and be bold to share the words that he's put on you as you share with them. So trusting for that for you. Thank you so much. Thank you for making us feel welcome. And we feel part of family to be here. This place, this area, Kales River, is very close to our hearts because we got married at Zevenwacht. One of the best decisions of my life, or to get married, not just at Zevenwacht. Two of the best decisions to get married and get married at Zevenwacht. But I love this area, and I feel that God's put a grace on you as a church to make people feel welcome into family. Not only just for church, but into the kingdom. And that I feel he's going to give each one of you an opportunity just to welcome those in, the visitors who are coming in, and they're going to immediately be sown and made part of family. And so I'm really trusting that he'll come and do that in you over this time. We're part of the Church Planters course, or group, and so that means for the last 3 months, we've been in a different congregation almost every week. It's been amazing to see what God has been doing, see the different leadership styles, just see his Holy Spirit moving. It's been such a privilege and an honor. And the temptation is to come in this morning with my best foot forward, put my best preach on, pretend that I've got it all together, and I'm going to resist that temptation and just come from a place of vulnerability and a place of knowing my weaknesses and just sharing what God's been working on in my heart lately. And it feels like over the last while there's been an attack on my calling and an attack on my identity. And the enemy has been coming in trying to sow lies over me. And the worst part was I started to believe those lies. At one point I felt the enemy say to me, you can't do this. And I was thinking, maybe he was right. And then I made the mistake of saying to my wife, Kina, maybe he's right. And she's like, what absolute nonsense. We break that lie right now. And then this week, I had a video call with one of the lead elders, and we were just chatting. And in that moment, I felt him speak such truth and such encouragement and such wisdom into my situation that I felt those lies being broken immediately. And I felt this freedom and this excitement and this joy come into me. And you know, I've been on eldership for about 15 years, and I think I should be over this kind of thing. But how quickly the enemy wants to trap us and hold us down. And you know, when God encourages us and corrects us, is as we're on a journey with him, we're walking, and he's slowly guiding, say, don't fall off that cliff or turn this way, but it's on the journey going forward with him. But the enemy wants to get us stuck in a place. And I saw that picture of Gulliver's Travels with that massive giant who lands on a beach, and he's passed out, and all these tiny people come, and they start tying him down with ropes. And one or two ropes would not have been the difference to holding him back, but it was hundreds of ropes that held him down. And it feels like as the enemy brings his lies, one or two lies is not going to hold you back. But if you start believing in all those lies, he's going to hold you down. And I want to thank Jesus for breaking me free from the lies that the enemy had and the strategy he had this week. And I'm trusting today as I share, he's going to come and do that in each one of our lives. And so today I want to talk about the truth. And that well-known verse, the truth will set you free. Been referenced in movies, we hear it often, but do we have a real grasp of what God's truth means and a real relationship with his truth and understanding of it? And so I want to look at three things today. What is the truth? How to know the truth? And how to apply the truth in our lives? And so I want to start with what is the truth? Think about God's truth. What does it mean to you? What does it mean in your life? And this is a word, this is a question that Pontius Pilate asked of Jesus when he said, what is truth? In an interaction with him. And it's a very interesting interaction. The backstory to that moment was Jesus had come, he was ministering, he was doing wonderful, amazing things, and the Pharisees and the Jewish leaders were so upset with him, they hatched a plan to arrest him. And at this moment, just before meeting with Pontius Pilate, when he'd been arrested, one of his disciples, Judas, had betrayed him. He was left on his own to pray all night by himself, and even the disciples had no clue what was coming. And so the Jewish leaders took him to Pontius Pilate. Pontius Pilate was a Roman governor, and he was one of the most ruthless, hardest leaders that there was out there. His decision-making was so hard that sometimes he just opted for the brutal decision and often went for the death penalty. And so the Jewish leaders thought, well, if we take Jesus to Pontius Pilate, we're going to get our way, and Jesus is definitely going to be put to death. And it totally backfired initially for them, because when Pontius Pilate saw him, he was like, Jesus is obviously not a rebel maker. This isn't a bad guy. This guy looks innocent. So he says to the Jewish leaders, why have you brought him here? And they said, well, if he wasn't guilty, we wouldn't have brought him here. And they sidestepped that question because they actually didn't have a reason. And so he said to him, well, he's Jewish. You're Jewish. Judge him yourselves. And the Jewish leaders said, it was Passover time. And they said, no, it would be against their traditions to condemn someone. And so cowardly, they asked Pontius Pilate to condemn on their behalf. And so he goes back to Jesus and he asks, what do they say of you? They say you're the king of the Jews. And Jesus said, I'm of another kingdom. But then Jesus says this to Pontius Pilate, and he says, for this purpose I was born, and for this purpose I've come into the world, to bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth listens to my voice. And at that, Pontius Pilate said, what is truth? And I could just imagine Pontius Pilate is going through an encounter with the living truth, with the living God. And I think for the first time in his life, he realized all his decision-making up to that point had been a lie. Truth for them was a social construct to suit their purposes, and he had just been making decisions. And now facing Jesus, who he can see as innocent, he's almost like, well, what is truth? What good is truth if you don't apply it and if you don't listen to it? And so he goes out, and it must have shocked the Jewish leaders when he said, I find this man innocent. There's no guilt in him. And so he gave them an option. He said, part of your custom is to release one of the prisoners. There was Barabbas and there was Jesus. And he said, who would you want to release? And they said, not Jesus. And so Jesus went to the cross and he died for truth. And so I want to say today, when you think of the truth and when you think of truth in your life, do you think that Jesus died? He paid in blood for the truth we live in. Do we sometimes bend the truth, tell a half lie, omit things because it suits us, and we think back, you know, Jesus died for this. Are we holding on to it fast? And today's society, and in this age of technology, you would think the hunt for truth would be easy. You can just Google it, or go on ChatGPT, or Claude, or Copilot, or all of these kinds of things, and ask what the truth is. But I think it gets harder and harder to figure out what is the truth. What is real? What is fake? What are the lies? And back in 2021, there was a video that went viral, a TikTok video, and it was of Tom Cruise playing guitar. And it starts off and he says, I'm a Dave Matthews Band fan, and I can play guitar, and I've taught myself the song, and he starts playing it and singing it. And in 1 week, it had over 11 million views, and 11 people liked this video. Justin Bieber said to Tom Cruise, I didn't know you could play guitar. You're so talented. As I was watching this video back in the day, I thought something just doesn't feel right. It looks like Tom Cruise. It sounds like him. I don't know what he sings like, but I guess that's how he sings, his mannerisms. But it was a fake video that used deep fake technology to take thousands of pictures from around the internet and create this image of Tom Cruise. And they had an actor portray it, and everyone thought this is Tom Cruise. And I want to say that this gets harder and harder to actually tell the truth. We see this more and more. The most commented post on any real upload on social media is this AI. You see a guy tackling a bear or taking down a lion or jumping off a cliff, and everyone writes at the bottom, is this AI? Is it real? And those are the times we're living in. And so we think we can judge the truth. We think we know what's real. And I want to say that it is hard, and it's going to get harder to tell the truth. I have friends who are living in Ukraine at the moment, and they're under attack from Russia, and they've got family members who are living in Russia. And these family members, blood family, they said they're hearing completely different news in Ukraine to 30 kilometers away over the border in Russia. Two completely different stories about what's going on, different propagandas coming through, and one of them is the truth and one is not. And I want to say we need to be careful that we learn how to discern the truth, because it will change how we view our lives and how we act. And so Jesus gave us the answer of how do we do this. In John 8, verse 31 to 32, Jesus said, to the Jews who had believed him, if you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And so even this morning as I'm sharing this, you're probably wondering, I don't need to be free from anything. I'm doing just fine. I'm all right. And that's a generational thing we can sometimes fool ourselves into thinking. Because when he said this to the Jews in John 8, verse 33, this was their answer. The Jewish leaders responded and said, "We are Abraham's descendants, and we have never been slaves of anyone. How can you say that we shall be set free?" And as I was reading this, I was like, hello. 400 years in Egypt, guys. 70 years in Babylon. You're currently under Roman occupation, and you're saying to Jesus, how do we need to be set free? And I think sometimes we fool ourselves as well by thinking, we don't need to be set free. There's nothing that's holding us back. We get trapped by the lies the enemy tells us and lies that we tell ourselves. And someone might have spoken a lie over you that's defined your whole life, and you may not even realize it. Think about Joshua and Caleb when they went to take the promised land in Canaan. It was an amazing promised land for them to step into. All the spies went out, 12 spies. 10 of them came back and said, we can't do it. The giants are too big. This land's not for us. But Joshua and Caleb saw the truth. They saw the plan God had for them. Imagine if everyone had gone with the spies. They never would have taken that land. King David, when he was tending his sheep, and he went to the front lines to bring lunch to his brothers, what did his brothers say to him? You don't belong here. You're not needed here. You don't have value here. Can you imagine if David, in that moment of doubt and self-pity, had been, oh, guys, you're right. What am I doing here? And he had left and gone back to tending the sheep. The whole of Israel would not have walked in freedom because of that one decision. And so I want to say that as you face the lies in your life, have the boldness to face them and have God break them in you. Because he's got a plan for you and a journey for you. And so looking at back at John 8, verse 31 to 32, there are three parts to it. Number one, he says, for those that believed him, if you hold on to my teaching. Number one is holding on to his teaching. Number two says, you will know the truth. We will learn how to discern the truth. And number three, the truth will set you free. And so I want to say, it's so important to hold on to his teaching. To not let the world come and lure you away, distract you. We had a couple staying with us who lead a church in Namibia. And they owned a game lodge in Zambia. And he said he was flying back from the game lodge the one time. And he was flying with his family and he misjudged the time of the flight and what season it was in. And he said the sun set about an hour earlier than he was expecting. And so now he's flying and it's just pitch black. And he's got no idea how to find where he was supposed to land. And so now he starts thinking, okay, are we going to crash? Must I look for open water? Must I look for a lake? Do I crash into trees? Lord, like, just help me. And he was just crying out, Jesus, like, help me in this moment. Protect me and my family. And after he had stopped praying, he saw in the distance a row of lights starting to come on. And another row of lights that went on for about 100 meters. And as he got closer, he realized this was an airport. And someone started lighting lights down there. And so he radioed ahead to them, and they said, yes, he can land. And so he came in, and he landed. And as he landed, people started, he realized these were all bags with candles in them. And as he got there, people came and started putting out the candles. And he said, how did you know we were coming? And they said, we didn't know. We're a resort, and we had someone that went through a medical emergency. And so we caught a plane to come in and assist this person. And we managed to help her and save her. And so we didn't need the plane, so we canceled it. And as you landed, we came and started putting out all the candles that had been lit there. And that was such an encouragement for me that God makes a way for us in the darkness. We need to cry out to him. And sometimes we can be circling around the dark and God's like, there's the runway. There's the light. Just land there. And we're like, God, I think I know better. Let me just go a little bit longer. Let me just go down this path a bit. And he's saying, I've already made a way for you. Look for his truth. Look for the light. Be guided by him, not by others. It was interesting that the crowd who wanted Jesus to be condemned, did they know the truth? Did they just go with peer pressure? If they'd known the truth themselves, would they have said the same thing? We mustn't be guided by the crowds around us. Be guided by his truth. Number two, know the truth. Discern the truth. There could be a number of reasons that you believe certain lies. Maybe it's generational. Maybe it's something your parents have said to you. Back in the day when England closed its Libyan embassy, Muammar Gaddafi was so upset about this, he ordered that all maps at the time have England removed from all maps and all textbooks. In fact, if you looked at a map at that time, you would just see the North Sea bordered by Scotland and Wales, and there would have been just a blank space of empty water. And so you would have been a student growing up at that time, and you would have faithfully believed there's no England. And it's not the truth. It was a lie. And for some of us, we've maybe been told something that's not the truth, but we believed it faithfully. And God's saying, I'm coming to break those lies. Back in the Middle Ages, the average Joe on the street believed the earth was flat. If you went up to him and said, hey, Joe, is the earth flat? He would say, yes, definitely, it is. And he'll say, why do you think the ships, if they keep going, they just disappear over the horizon? They're just falling off the edge. And it was a wide-held belief. And so I want to say, don't go with public opinion. Feelings are not an indicator of truth. Even fact is sometimes not an indicator of truth. It's God's word is the indicator of truth in our life. We need to know the fake from the real. And the only way to do that is to find the truth in the Word of God. The truth in the Word of God has the answers for us. I see it, keeping with the plane analogy, I see it like a gyroscope that shows us where the horizon is. And when you're flying the plane, and you might be in complete fog, and in complete darkness, and the horizon stays constant, like the Word of God stays constant in our lives, this is our guiding truth in our lives, and we need to follow the Word of God. And trust the Word of God. We need to know the Word of God. When they talk about the bank tellers, they feel and they can tell counterfeit bills because they know the original. And so do we know the Word of God in our lives? And finally, the truth will set you free. John 14, verse 6, Jesus answered, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus made a lot of absolute statements. You might hear people out there in the world saying there are many ways to get to God. There are many ways to get to heaven. But here Jesus says, I am the only way. And religious pluralism will have you believe that you can get there through good works or through believing something else. That's not the truth. The truth is Jesus is the only way. And I heard a great example of how this looks. Imagine two people are standing in a single lane road. It's the middle of the night. All my analogies are at night for some reason. And you're having a conversation and in the distance you see two lights coming. And your friend says to you, I think those two lights are two motorbikes coming towards us. And if we stay right here where we are, the motorbikes are going to go on either side and we're going to be fine. And you say, I think those two lights are an 18-wheeler truck. And if we keep standing here, we're going to get taken out. And I'm going to say, only one of those statements is right. And if we believe it's a truck and we stand out of the way, we'll be fine. If we believe him and he's wrong, we're going to get taken out. And so I want to say, we have to have the courage of our convictions that force us to take action. Don't live on someone else's truth. The enemy will often sell you a lie that looks very attractive. The easy way. I remember scrolling. A lot of my problems have come through scrolling. And some of the ads you see, and I came across this ad. And it was this guy. He was very buff. He had like almost no body fat at all. And he's standing, he's holding a salad in one hand, and he's holding a pizza in the other hand. And he says, guys, for my dinner tonight, I'm going to eat one of these. Guess which one it is. And then he goes to say, it's not the salad, it's the pizza. And then it moves to another clip of him, and he's got burgers, and he's like, I'm going to eat these burgers today, and I'm going to stay in great shape. And he says, I don't need cardio, I don't need this to stay in great shape, I just need this supplement, or this thing. And as I was watching this, I had a moment where I'm like, I'm literally wasting time watching this ad. I've got a decision to make. I can go do something productive and get on with my life, or I can sit and watch the rest of this ad. And so I decided, I want to watch the rest of the ad. Where's this going to go? And it ended up being a product that they had to sell you, where they said, you don't need to exercise. It doesn't matter what you eat. Their product is going to make you skinny and make you lose weight. And it was debunked as a fake. But there was something in me that wanted to believe it. I wanted to believe I could sit on my couch, watch Netflix all day, eat whatever food, and still have like 5% body fat. I wanted to believe that lie, and he sold it so well. He talked about lycophates and fast twitch fibers, muscle glycogen, mean rest times, all these terms that were just way above my head. And it made me want to believe it. And I think the enemy does that. He makes you want to believe the lie. It makes you want to choose the easy path. he brings in doubt. He says, do you need to be at church on a Sunday, you know? You don't need the spiritual disciplines to be spiritually fit. You can just sit, watch Netflix all day. And that's a lie from the enemy. Don't take the easy road. That seems what the world is taking. Romans 1 verse 25 says, they exchanged the truth about God for a lie and worshipped and served created things rather than the Creator who is forever praised. And I believe God's already given us the truth. But are we exchanging it for lies that the enemy wants to bring in, for comfort? The truth is, we believe that because of Adam's original sin, we're doomed for eternal destruction. But Jesus made a way for every one of us to be saved. And he sent his son to die on a cross for our sins. And that is the good news of the Bible. And that's the truth that we live to. John 3:16 says exactly that. For God so loved the world, he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. And so how do we apply this to our lives? Well, I was thinking of Matthew 13, the scripture of the sower and the seed. And it says, a farmer went out to sow the seed, and there's four types of seeds that were sown. One was onto hard ground, where immediately the birds came and snatched it away. The second was where the soil was shallow, and it couldn't take root. And the sun and the heat and the elements caused it to shrivel up and die. The third was where it was among the thorns. And as the seed tried to take root, the worries and thorns of this world grew up and strangled it. And the fourth, though, said the seed took root in good soil, and it produced a crop 100 times, 60 times, and 30 times what was sown. And I want to ask us this morning, of those four hearts, which one are we? Are we the good soil where the truth grows and thrives? Or do we let the worries of the world come and strangle us? Or is our soil shallow? And God's saying that he wants to sow deep into us today. He wants to sow his truth for his glory into good soil so we may mature. And the enemy doesn't want that. He wants to cut us off at our roots so we will not prosper. Because if this word takes heart, you'll become powerful in the kingdom. We'll be like oaks of righteousness. We'll be an unstoppable force that brings light to Chaos River and the surrounds. And even today, the enemy is going to come and he's going to try to cut that truth out at the beginning. Why do you think in Moses' day, all the baby boys, they wanted to put them to death? Herod's time, he wanted to kill all the boys as well and get rid of Jesus. The enemy's plan is to cut it off at the root. Let it grow. Let this word sink in and really grow in you. Don't let doubt come in. And so I've got five ways in which we can allow the truth to take root and grow in our hearts. Number one, change your perspective of the truth. Maybe even up until now, and I've been there, you felt, oh, if I could just bend the truth, if I just don't say that, if I can just phrase it this way, I will come across better. We've maybe told little white lies, believed half truths, and actually we're manipulating the truth for our own glory. And I want to say today, do we see the truth as a slinky? You know, one of those slinkies that goes down the stairs that you can bend, it can go wherever you want, you can manipulate it. Or do we see it as a lighthouse on the rock that's immovable and can't be changed, and we can rely on it to shine through the darkness? When we change our perspective on the truth, we'll live our lives differently. Number two, we need to apply the truth in our lives. Jesus spoke about we hear the truth and we apply it in our lives. I remember back in COVID, during the lockdown time, we weren't obviously allowed out of the house. We couldn't go to a gym. I was part of Virgin Active. And so Virgin Active came out with all these workout videos that you could watch. And you guys would have been so proud of me. I watched every single video. I might have been sitting there eating popcorn and ice cream while I was doing it, but I watched every video. And I couldn't figure out why there was no physical change in me. Well, there was. There was a bigger change. And you know, the thing is, when God brings his truth, when the word says forgive, when he says be generous, when he says go out, when he says share the gospel, when we're applying the truth, the physical change comes. It's no good hearing the truth and listening to it and not applying it in our lives. And so let's apply those things. Let's apply the truth and we'll see the physical change that he wants to bring. There's a lie out there that goes, one day I will do that thing. One day I'll get fit. One day I'll count for Jesus. One day I'll share in home group. One day I'll share the gospel with my friends. One day I'll do it. But I want to say the truth is, if you die in the truth you're living in today, that is the truth that you're in. You can no longer live for one day. You can't say to God, you know, God, one day I was going to give my life or do this. A very sad example for that for me is Ravi Zacharias. Amazing, amazing apologetist. He was out just changing the world, but yet he was living with the sin in his heart, and he died in that place. And I don't know where he is now after that. And so we deal with the stuff today. Don't live for one day. Number three, hear God's voice and be led by the Spirit. John 16, verse 13. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. Be led by the Spirit. I shared earlier about that plane coming in for landing. Be led by the Spirit in all things. Let him lead your life. When that job opportunity comes, ask God, is this the truth? Is this what you want me to work into? Be led by him as he leads us along the path. We hear his voice. He speaks to us. He leads us through leaders and through others. Number four, speak the truth to each other in love. 1 John 3, verse 18 to 20. I don't think I gave that to you. It says, dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but with actions and in truth. This is how we know we belong to the truth and our hearts are at rest in his presence. And so we need to speak the truth to one another. We need to receive the truth. I was joking with my kids this week when they were much younger. They were happy to speak the truth to me. Wasn't always in love, you know. If we were building a tent or doing Lego, and they'll be like, you're doing it wrong, Dad. And I was fully secure in my tent building and my Lego building ability. But there's a way you can bring across the truth to each other. And I want to say, let's do it in such a way that it's love. Ask yourself, do I need to share this truth with the person? Is this a style or personality thing that just bugs me and I want to get it out? Or is there a real truth where I think you're missing something, but we do it with love. And we do it with the intention to bring change. When Ryan Kingsley led our congregation, we used to have this joke. I said to him, I'm still forgiving him for not being invited to his wedding. And he said, I didn't even know you then, Dave. And I said, that's just an excuse. And we can take offense over perceived things and carry it around with us. And it's actually like the weeds that grow up. And so let's ask God, how does he want to speak his truth into people's lives? And finally, instead of exchanging God's truth for lies, let's exchange the lies for the truth. And I'd love us to just, maybe the worship team can come up again. I'd love us to just spend a moment asking the Lord, are there any lies that we've believed over this time? And I'll go through some of them that we start to believe. Sometimes we believe no one loves me, but God loves you. You believe I can do this on my own, but God's put you into family. God can't forgive my sin, it's too hectic, but God wants all men to be saved. We believe sin is not a big deal, but sin leads to death. You'll never walk in your calling, but God says, I equip the called. This is one that I was attacked on. This is my identity. God can't change it. And God said, I've given each one of you a new identity. I have to earn grace. No, grace is a gift from God. I have nothing to add to the body. God's given you a voice. I can't go on. And he says, my grace is sufficient. And finally, my past defines me. And God says, you're a new creation. And there's a grace that comes from living in the truth. And I'm really trusting this morning that God wants to come and take us all into this freedom, all into this grace, all into this truth. And maybe it's a lie that you've believed from a child. Maybe it's a lie that someone's spoken over your life. Maybe it's something you've told yourself. And God's saying, let's discern those lies and let's find out what's the truth of your life, what he wants to say. And so I'd love to just pray for us and then just take a moment to actually hear from the Lord and see what he wants to say over us, God. Let's bow our heads together. Yes, Jesus. Yes, God. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, God. Lord, I want to thank you that the real truth is we are, without you, condemned to eternity and destruction, Lord. Because of the sin in our lives, because of what we've opened ourselves up to, because of our decisions, there was only one path for us. And that was eternal destruction, Jesus. And that's a hard truth, but it's a truth we need to acknowledge and we need to know. But with that, the hope comes that you sent your Son, Jesus, to die on the cross for our sins, God. And there's an open door for every single person here to escape that damnation, but not only to escape it, to live an abundant life with you, God. And I want to thank you that you made a way for us to know you. And I want to pray for those that are here today that have maybe believed the lie of I can never be saved. God doesn't have a plan for me. Don't be like that seed that's snatched away before it even takes root. But come and let it settle in your heart. He wants to make you part of his godly family, part of this family. And so I'd ask with all eyes closed, if that's you today, and you've never given your life to Jesus, you've never maybe believed you could, he's saying, I want you to bring you into family. I want you to know the ultimate truth. And so I'd ask if that's you and you want to give your life to Jesus, why don't you just put up your hand so I can see and we can pray with you today.